So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
One year from today, when the Democratic National Convention is in Milwaukee preparing for its final day, Joe Solmanese will be surrounded by 50,000 of his closest friends. And right now, he's got a skeleton staff in Milwaukee preparing for the Democratic National Convention. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
I heard the version from Chairman Perez and Mayor Barrett and Governor Evers. Why Milwaukee?
Well, I think, you know, Milwaukee is, and the state of Wisconsin and really this part of the country is an incredibly inspired choice for this convention. I think it's an important place for Democrats to be as we take the historic step of nominating our candidate for president. I think it's important to be in a place that really aligns with the Democratic values, the kind of values we saw at work that got this convention here, the sort of the grit and the determination and the collaborative spirit that really came together to ensure that we would be here, and that same group of folks continue to work to ensure that this is a success. So, you know, I think both in terms of all those reasons, and then, you know, as a backdrop, whether it's the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, and the people who live here, as a part of that incredibly important four-day story that we're going to tell next year, it all makes sense to me. And not only does it make sense, but I think it's a really inspired decision.
Has the party forgiven Wisconsin for voting for, excuse me, President Trump in 2016?
I don't think there's forgiveness needed. I think it's really on us to take a hard look at how it is that that happened and ensure that it doesn't happen again, and quite frankly, use this convention, use the organizing, use the, you know, the, again, the collaborative spirit that's gone to work to bring this here and that will continue to be at work to make this a success. That's the sort of thing that really needs to continue after this convention is over and right through November to make sure that that's not the case in 2020.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned it already, but what's at stake in the party's convention next year in the city of Milwaukee, sir?
Well, I think, you know, on the surface, this is really an opportunity for us to, as a party, to nominate our candidate for president and vice president. But I think, you know, beyond that, it's an opportunity to really lift up the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin and the people who live here to the rest of the country and to the world, to tell their stories, to make sure that we incorporate the lived experience of people here into the storyline of this convention, that we make sure that people are clear about, I think, what it is that we have lost here under this administration and what we have the potential to gain back for people with new leadership.
Let's look exactly 1 year ahead. It's a day before the last day of the convention. What does this downtown Milwaukee look like?
I think it's going to be the day before the last day of the convention. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting place. I think it's going to be full of our delegates from all around the country.
How many delegates and how many alternates?
So that number is about 6,000 when you think about the number of delegates and the number of alternates. We're accounting on about 6,000 people there, and of course upwards of 12,000 volunteers, and then the people who live here who want to be part of this convention, vendors and volunteers and activists, they'll all be here. They'll all be in downtown Milwaukee. And of course, what's great about this downtown is that it lends itself so beautifully to this convention. All of the sort of venues that we'll be using for the actual convention are close together and all, you know, around the Fiserv Arena. So I think there'll be people here, there'll be people in neighborhoods all across the city participating in all sorts of events and all sorts of activities. But I think that, you know, if we do our job, the general atmosphere should be one of excitement.
Well, I interviewed former Democratic Assembly Speaker Tom Loftus. He said he'll be working with foreign visitors.
That's right.
How many do you expect?
Yeah, so he'll be working with the National Democratic Institute, and they bring in somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 dignitaries from around the world for this as well. And some aspect of the convention they participate in, and then they have their own programming that goes on here in conjunction with the convention.
And how many law enforcement officers? Because security is obviously such a huge issue.
Yeah, so that number will be in the thousands, and you know, we'll have more than in any previous convention. I think that's true for both the Democratic and the Republican convention. But obviously, security, both physical security and cyber security are going to be paramount at this convention. And so you will see you will see a record number of law enforcement and both out in the public eye and behind the scenes ensuring that this is a secure experience for people.
President Obama and the former First Lady expected to attend?
I hope so.
Okay. The security perimeter around FISERV, mm-hmm. Having covered a few national conventions, when will that be locked down?
So Secret Service and our leads on the Secret Service team have arrived here in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. They're working with local law enforcement, the police department, and others to begin the work of really almost mapping this city, looking at every square inch of this city, and making that determination. They're going to take a fair amount of time to do that. They're going to take probably 3 to 4 months to do all of the work that they need to do and all of the work that we would expect and would want them to do, mm-hmm. To make sure that this is as secure a convention as it can be. And so what we have started to say is that we think around January is when we'll be in a position to have really thoughtful conversations with people who may or may not be impacted, either business leaders or residents here in the city, and just what it is that the security infrastructure will mean in terms of their day-to-day lives over the course of the convention and just before that.
The Milwaukee area had to come up with how many hotel rooms to meet the demands of the DNC?
So I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 to 16,000.
15,000 to 16,000. Yeah. So will guests be staying as far north as Sheboygan and west to Madison or what?
So we're not sure at this point how far out people will be. Our sort of first priority right now is to work with our 6,000 delegates and to think about where it is that they'll be and what their kind of individual needs are. We try to keep state delegations together, and so that's a bit of a puzzle. So we're going to start there, and we'll kind of work our way out, and then from convention to convention, some of the individual constituency groups that we are dealing with, those numbers go up and down for a variety of reasons, the number of Democratic House members or, donors to the campaigns. And so we're going to start here, and we're going to start with our 6,000 delegates, and we're going to work out, and then over the course of the next few months, we'll have a sense of just how far out people will be.
How is it determined which delegation has hotels closest to the FISERV?
It's a good question, and so we really work with them, and we kind of assess their needs. As I said, one of the things that is interesting is the desire for hotels to for delegations to be together. And so, as you can imagine, some of the very large states, like California and Florida, mm-hmm. sort of limits their options in terms of the number of rooms that they need. In a city with hotels the size of this, they have a lot of. Different states have different needs in terms of meetings, breakfast, delegation meetings, getting back and forth, members of the sort of leadership representing their state. So there's a number of factors that go into what hotel and, what sort of region around the city makes the most sense. One thing that I'll say that has been nice about Milwaukee, it reminds me a bit more of Charlotte, which is where our 2012 convention was, yes. In terms of the number of hotels that kind of ring the city. But here in Milwaukee, those hotels tend to be more clustered, the number of hotels by the Milwaukee Airport and different places. And what that does is it enables us to be much more efficient about things like bus routes and sending buses back and forth and sort of the speed with which we can get people back and forth into the arena.
So if a delegation is in Waukesha County, and some of them will be, they'll be bused back and forth?
All of our delegates are bused in from wherever it is that they're staying to the convention.
Which is a logistical, I don't want to use the term, challenge, correct?
Well, one of the nice things about what we've done in terms of staffing up for this convention is I think we've got the right combination of local folks from here in Milwaukee who can help us navigate sort of the unique nature of this city in terms of hosting a convention with some real seasoned veterans. And so our transportation director has got 5 or 6 conventions under his belt. Our security director has been at 7 conventions. So we've got some real campaign veterans who are really quite seasoned at things like how it is that you take the hundreds of buses that we're going to need, coordinate that with where our delegates are going to be staying, and then map out an efficient transportation system that gets them here in the afternoon and then gets them back out to where they're staying at around 11 o'clock at night when everything's over with.
You've had a long career, including Planned Parenthood. Why did you raise your hand and want to become CEO of this convention?
So, two things. I was really actually genuinely inspired by the idea that the convention would be here. I think that as someone who's a longtime Democrat and has been active in Democratic politics, I was watching to see where it would be, and I am among many who thought it was an inspired decision and an important decision. So that in and of itself compelled me to be here, and I've been here for about a month, and I'm very happy to be here in Milwaukee. But also, I've known the DNC, I know the leadership of the DNC, I've known Chairman Perez for some time. I had the chance to work with him when I was at the Human Rights Campaign, and he was at the Justice Department moving important legislation there, and so I was really happy again to have the opportunity to have him ask me to do this and to be able to work with him on it.
Had Miami or Houston been chosen, do you think you'd be CEO? Would you want to be CEO?
It's a good question. I hope so.
Let's talk about volunteers. You need how many?
We need about 12,000 volunteers.
And why should someone volunteer, and what task would they be doing, and how would they be trained?
Well, those are all great questions. We're going to begin the process. We've already begun the process of trying to recruit volunteers. That's something that will be ongoing. As you can imagine, it's something that you have to continue to work at, because the volunteer, you know, any number of volunteers you get today may sort of fall out of the off your list a year from now.
Yes.
So it's sort of striking the right balance between getting going early enough and keeping a fresh list of people who remain committed to doing the work. And so we're doing that. We're being as creative and as intentional as we can be about where it is that we go to look for people and who it is that we can partner with, our progressive partners, our elected officials, some of our institutional sponsors here around town who have people that want to be a part of it. So I think the first and most important thing that we have to do is not just build a list of 12,000 people, but build a list of 12,000 people that is fresh and engaged and feels, you know, ready to come and be a part of it come next July. And then, of course, we'll get about the business of figuring out, as you mentioned, what it is that they'll be doing. And, you know, the jobs are, all across the spectrum. I mean, having been to every convention from 1988 until now, I know that there will be people standing at the airport telling you where to go, and there'll be people at every phase along your convention journey helping you navigate it, and those will largely be volunteers. And those are the folks that we're going to be counting on. And then, of course, as you mentioned, we'll build out the appropriate amount of time to really train them to do those jobs so that they feel good about what they're doing, they feel like they know what they're doing, and the folks that they're dealing with who are coming into town to be a part of this feel like they've been a resource to them as well.
Every volunteer would have to have her or his background checked by the FBI and
yeah, correct. So obviously that's another thing that we're going to want to make sure that we build in the right time for, to make sure that the kind of security measures that we're going to have to take are undertaken. And again, it's that balance between getting about the business of building a list of people early enough, but not so early that, it's not still in their consciousness that this is something that we're counting on them to do.
What's your elevator speech for someone considering being a volunteer?
I think that it's a pretty exciting thing to be a part of. I'd almost say, I think regardless of, your ideological perspective, it's going to be an incredibly exciting moment in Milwaukee. The eyes of the country and the eyes of the world will be on Milwaukee, and it's an opportunity for this city to shine. And I think if you're proud to be a part of this city, you should be proud to really lift this city up onto the international stage and make sure that people really see all that this city has to offer. As I said, I've only been here a short time, and I have been so pleasantly surprised by all that I've discovered about this city. And again, I think if you live here and you're from here, it's a moment for you to really take a lot of what this city has to offer and, put it out there onto the international stage. Yep. One of the things that the mayor said when I was with him this morning is that so many people that he meets, they have neither a good nor a bad view of Milwaukee. Just that they haven't been here, and they don't really have a sense of what Milwaukee's all about. And so it's almost as though we have a kind of a blank slate upon which to, sort of roll all that Milwaukee has to offer out to the country and to the world.
If I'm a potential volunteer and I ask, will I be paid? Will I get transportation? Will I get food?
Yep.
How do you answer?
Well, as a volunteer, you won't get paid,
and I think
it kind of depends on what your job is and what it is that you're doing, how long we might expect you to work and where we want you to be, and all those things would go into how it is that we're able to sort of accommodate you.
There's three local issues that intrigue me. Do you need the HOP, the buses extended, when the Democratic National Convention opens?
So I think that in terms of buses, we're working with the county on, what it is that they can offer, and we're obviously assuming that we will be providing the vast majority of our buses. I think that It's less about availability, and it's more about working with the county on the sort of the transportation grid, on making sure that there is a really clear understanding of where it is that we need the buses to go, and you know, and in particular, where some of those routes are going to be moving our delegates, because the vast majority of the buses will be moving delegates all around the city and all around this area. And so I think it's more about a coordination between us and the county and the transportation infrastructure here to make sure that that's it's seamless for our delegates and for the people who are coming to the convention, but it also minimizes the negative impact on people who live here as well.
Right. The second local issue, is there going to be a push to extend bar time from 2 to 4 a.m.? Are you aware of that?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I guess on a personal level, I'd say I hope so.
Okay.
I'm not going to be done with work until well after 2 a.m.
And the governor just signed a bill for scooters. Are scooters going to play a role in the convention?
You know, I think that one of the things that, you know, I went to South by Southwest earlier this year, and the first morning that I walked out onto the street, I said to people, probably showing my age, I said, I feel like I'm, you know, in the future, because the way that you were able to access information on your phone or on, you know, screens on the street or, you know, any place that you went, and then the way in which they were using bicycles and scooters and all sorts of alternative transportation sources to, you know, to create a more seamless experience for people was really inspiring. And, you know, as someone reminded me of, that was, it's really the present, not the future that that's happening in. But I think, you know, we've got to look for every innovative way that we can to get people where they need to be, to get people information about, you know, where it is that they need to be, you know, whether that's through bicycles and scooters or whether that's through, you know, enhanced technology.
A downtown Milwaukee office worker, not directly related to the DNC convention, should she or he take July 13th through 16th off next year?
So this is why, you know, we want to do everything that we need to do, you know, with local law enforcement and the Secret Service to have a very clear understanding of what the security perimeter is going to be like, what the impact is going to be like to people who live and work downtown in terms of transportation, in terms of any of the issues that might impact somebody who works here. We're aiming to get that done so that we can have that conversation in the early part of next year with people so that they can make their own decisions about, you know, what it'll be like to commute into downtown, what it'll mean for the particular building that they work in, and whether or not they want to take that time off.
How will the convention be good for Milwaukee's poor residents?
I think a big emphasis on the part of the DNC, and in particular on the part of the local host committee, is to make sure that we bring this convention to every part of Milwaukee, that we create as many opportunities as we can for people to be a part of this convention, particularly if you're a vendor, a small business owner, you know, whether that's someone who owns a catering company or a makeup artist or transportation business. Like, we want to make sure that the economic opportunity that exists and the economic impact that we know will happen as a result of this convention will happen in a way that is equitable for everybody. And that's not just about getting people to sort of make themselves known, right? Mm-hmm. That's not just about having people sign up, which we are doing now. We're at the initial stages of making sure that if you're someone who wants to participate, if you've got a business, if you're a vendor, if you have a service to provide, half the equation is you letting us know. The other half is us being intentional with all of the people who are coming here and making sure that we encourage them to hire and to engage people here on the ground, you know, in any way that they can. And that is not just here in downtown Milwaukee, that's really all across the city.
Would low-income residents be given a priority for some of these DNC convention jobs?
You know, I think that that's a good question. I think we you know, we're going to reach out to every progressive partner and every aligned partner with the Democratic National Committee. I mean, you know, obviously those are folks who share our values, who share, you know, our sense of importance of engagement in this convention. And so, you know, I like to think that, you know, the same diverse lens, you know, that we're looking at the city and we're looking at the opportunity to engage people in, you know, would exist in terms of the people we'll work with to do that outreach, and hopefully that'll be the case.
How will the 6,000 delegates and alternates be made aware of all the other cultural and other things to do in Wisconsin?
So that's a big part of our job over the course of the next year, and that is really, it's the mandate from the chairman of the DNC and the mayor as well, that we ensure that as people, not just the 6,000 delegates, right, but the thousands of people who come here over the course of those four or five days next year, know all that Milwaukee has to offer and all of the opportunities that they have to be in all of the different parts of the city. And it's not just the people who are coming here. It's not just us, you know, making sure that people know that there are opportunities. It's also, I think, a responsibility for us to make sure that, you know, our friends in the media and in the new media, you know, whether it's Twitter or others who have talked to us, how it is that they can come and really lift up the story of Milwaukee, that we make sure that they have a clear sense of all that Milwaukee has to offer and all of the people all across the city who want to be a part of having that story lifted up.
Do you expect protests given the level of discourse in American politics right now?
I've been to every convention since 1988, and I don't think I've been to one where there haven't been protests, so I suspect that there will be. Yeah. And, you know, look, I think that, again, that's one of those things that, you know, we do work on the front end to ensure that, you know, folks who want to come here and raise awareness around an issue and make sure that, right, the eyes of the Democratic Party are focused on that issue as much as anything else it is that we're doing here. I think that's vitally important to our democracy. And what we want to do is make sure that people have the opportunity to advance those arguments, to lift up those issues, but to do so in a way that keeps everybody safe.
The DNC has to raise about $70 million. How much of that has been raised?
So I hesitate to speak for the host committee. I know that most recently they had talked about raising somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 and $20 million. I believe that that's still the case, and that would put them right on par with where they need to be at this point in terms of the agreement that they've made with the Democratic National Committee.
Depending on the day, there's either 23 or 24 candidates. Do you envision any chance of a brokered convention, a real contested convention?
You know, I think anything could happen, and that's certainly a possibility. You know, as I say about things like a broken convention, you know, among all the many things that we have to worry about, there's, you know, a book on a shelf somewhere that we pull down and a procedure that we go through to navigate our way through that, and, you know, that's what we'll do. But, you know, I don't know. I think we are, we're doing everything we need to do now on the logistical and organizing front to get ready for this, and we'll watch as everybody else does this presidential cycle unfold over the course of this year and see, you know, what that number becomes and how that field narrows, and we'll, you know, probably begin to think about those sorts of things once the primary process gets going in earnest next February.
We're almost out of time. Just a couple more questions.
Sure.
Is there any logistical concern that you have now that you're actually on the ground? Any worry or anything that you're going to spend the next few months resolving?
I think that the two things that, you know, it's not unique to this city and it's not unique to this convention, but the two things that I think are always really important to be as in front of and thoughtful about as you can be. One is transportation, and the other is security. And, you know, you plan as much as you possibly can, and you do as much forethought into, you know, kind of scenario planning as you can, you know, and that's what we're doing here. One of the things I will say that I'm pleasantly surprised by around with regard to transportation is that, you know, this is an arena that is in downtown Milwaukee, but because of the sort of the construction and other things that are going on here, we've got three very large open space, you know, lots around Fiserv Arena. Yes. That will not be built on, and, you know, will not have anything done to them until after the convention's over. And that really, it sort of gives us the best of both worlds. When you go out, you know, of the city to an arena, you can do things like move buses in and get your delegates out very readily. When you're downtown, that's a little more difficult. This is kind of giving us the best of both worlds because we've got a downtown arena with a lot of open space around it to deal with some of those logistical challenges.
1 year out, what's your advice for Wisconsin residents who may be thinking, I'm going to stay away from Milwaukee July 13 through 16 of next year? What's your advice?
You know, I think it's going to be an exciting time to be here. I think that, you know, the eyes of the world are going to be on Milwaukee. There's going to be much more going on than what they see inside Fiserv Forum every night. And it's our job to make sure that people know about all those opportunities, know about ways for people to engage. And for them to find a way to be a part of what I think is going to be a pretty exciting few days.
And you're from Massachusetts?
Yes.
Have you become a Brewers, Bucks, and Packers fan?
I have had the opportunity to go to a Bucks game, and I have become a Bucks fan, you know. But that's about all I've had the opportunity to do.
And when the Patriots play the Packers?
The thing about being from Boston is that you're kind of required to be a Red Sox fan. You know, it's in the DNA. I probably would have been put out of my home if I wasn't. But when you get out to the Celtics and the Patriots, it's you've got a little bit more space there. So I was at the game where the Bucks played the Celtics, and contrary to what my mother might have thought, I did cheer for the Bucks.
You did.
I did.
Well, it sounds like you're having fun playing.
Yes, it's been great to be here.
Okay. Joe Salmanese, thank you so much for talking to Wisconsin Eye. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.